Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
The star was a signal to the wise men that the event which had been foretold, that which they were waiting for, was realized. The brilliant light of Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope and into faith when we have that deep inner knowing that the Christ is indeed born in each of us. That knowing leads to an experience of great inner joy. Now let me repeat this line. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope into faith when we have that inner, deeper knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That knowing leads to an experience of great inner joy. So, you know, I think I shared with you before that a lot of times when I'm doing these talks or creating the talks, you know, I say to Pam, I just realize how much this has to do with my own dynamics, you know, the stuff that I'm going through myself, which makes it a real interesting process, especially creating this particular talk while on vacation. You know, everybody else is playing golf and doing stuff, and I'm in there, you know, working on my talk. But it, you know, there's a great joy for me in putting these things together and doing the research to try to understand how to make these things sound practical. So today's talk on joy, we're going to try to get into how do we make that shift to eternal joy, to a joy that we always have no matter what's going on, you know, in our lives. And, you know, if you go to the revealing word, this idea of the Star of Bethlehem symbolizes our inner feeling, our inner belief, our inner certainty, our inner knowing that we are truly the son, we are truly the daughter of a living God. And when we get that inner feeling, we can say to ourselves with absolute conviction, surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. Surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. So no matter what is going on, instead of worrying about what's going on and thinking about what's going on, you go to the affirmation, surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. Surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. Say that with me. Surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. So that's the practical application of the process. You know, when things are going on, it's not that you have to stop and sit down and sit in a prayer position and pray, but you have an affirmation that comes to you that brings you to another state of consciousness. It brings you to a higher state of consciousness than whatever it is that you might be looking at or dealing with. So this is the rest of that statement. Surely the Christ is present in me and in my life, and I now know that I am surely the Son of God. I am truly the daughter of God. No longer do I hope for the best, because now I know that through Christ who strengthens me and reinforces my thinking, only the best is in store for me, and I am filled with joy. Okay? So this idea, these studies that we do, there are two states of mind. One is based on love, and the other one is based on fear. So you have to have an arsenal of dynamics in your mind that will help you to shift when you feel yourself in fear, shift to love. Because we already have an arsenal of stuff that shifts us from love to fear. Am I right? We don't have to think about that. It just happens. Okay, so that's the process you have to work with. So when your inner feeling about your life moves from hope to the certainty of knowing, you will truly understand how to live your life from the perspective of faith. And as I said in the first lesson that we had in this series, hope often falls prey to doubt and fear. Okay, faith, on the other hand, knows nothing about fear. Faith only knows nothing about doubt. Faith only knows that the Christ is fully present in me and in my life and affairs. So if you're trying to think to yourself, am I hoping this is going to happen, or do I have faith in knowing that it's going to unfold, you know, for the good of everyone involved? And not knowing that it's going to unfold in the way you want it to unfold, because you don't always know if that's the best, right? Saying, I want it to unfold the way I want it to unfold is you're limiting a God to this one little pea in your head that, you know, said this is the idea of the way it can happen. So you always want to be open to that larger possibility. So when you're operating from faith, you know that the Christ is in charge of your life and affairs, and you feel a great sense of joy, even when there doesn't appear to be anything to be joyful about. That's the difficult thing for the ego to try to figure out, okay? But again, without faith, we have no lasting joy. Without faith, we have no lasting joy. And actually, there's a formula. And this formula came to me while Pam and I, when we were down in Florida. You come out, I used to didn't like walking down there because where we were is a lot of big main streets, and it took a long time to get across the street. But I came out of the back of the complex, and I found this wonderful trail that goes around these beautiful lakes. And it was my watch that I wear when I'm walking has a GPS in it, so it tells you exactly how far you're walking. And it was 1.3 miles around. And so we walked that until we got our 5 miles in. But it was such a beautiful walk. And in the process of thinking about this talk, I came up with a formula. So the Advent series is faith, peace, love, joy. But what came to me is faith plus peace plus love equals joy. So that's sort of a formula that, you know, we can keep, you know, keep in our minds. Faith plus peace plus love equals joy. Right? So when you have that concept in mind, you begin to understand that there is a dynamic, there's a process by which eternal joy in my heart, you know, is created. And most of the time when we're joyful, it's simply because things are working out in our life the way we want them to. Say, how's it going? Oh, man, everything's going great right now. I'm good. All right? But if one of them things that are good becomes not good, then your joy starts to, you start to struggle with that joy. Okay? So the key that we're trying to get to is, you know, there's nothing wrong with this idea that I'm joyful because good things are happening in my life. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But we're trying to get to a higher level of joy, a joy that outlasts and outshines the enjoyable material experiences and circumstances in our lives, meaning no matter what is going on in our life, we still have this inner sense of joy. Does that make sense? All right, so that's what we're trying to get to. So we're exploring the joy that still remains when everything else has gone, and all that's left is our faith in God and peace and love in our hearts. This is a joy that surpasses all understanding. This is a joy that, you know, remember that talk with the farmer where the horse ran away and it didn't that bad, and then the horse came back and brought more horses. You guys remember that? Yeah, I forgot where that comes from. But anyway, whatever the situation was for the farmer, for him it was always, that's just the way it is, you know. So it's sort of that thing where no matter what's happening out here, you always have that sense of joy in here. So the decision to actually live from the faith that will truly bring you inner joy is usually something we cannot accomplish overnight. You can't walk out of here and say, all right, I'm going to be joyful no matter what. Yeah, because the universe will say, oh, really? How about this? Right? Okay. So moving from a consciousness of fear and doubt to a consciousness of faith and peace cannot be accomplished overnight. It is a process that must be cultivated through continuously focused daily practice. So when stuff happens, it's so like you want to go, oh, this is one of those things. How am I going to respond to it? Am I going to be okay within myself? Now, it's not joyful about the stuff that something ugly happened. You know what I'm saying? Is that you're still joyful inside, regardless of what happened. Did that make sense? Because I don't want you to say, you know, you come out and your car is missing, and you go, oh, well, you know, somebody stole my car. That's okay. I'm okay with that. All right? It's not that kind of thing. All right? Is that you're not joyful the car was stolen. You're still just joyful in your heart. I don't know if people tell you that story that a comedian came to a Eastern Regional Conference, and we were trying to teach him about how to surround things in the light. And he had been taught that before. He said, yes, he said, my car had gotten stolen several times. So when I parked my car, I did like you guys told me. I surrounded it in the light. All right? And then I went about and did what I had to do and came back, and my car was gone, but the light was still there. So anyway, So anyway, so the key is, you know, many of us are willing to hear the truth, but not everyone has the courage to live the truth, right? And that's what we're trying to get to. And I mean really live it, where you continuously, you have this continuous focus of practicing it every day in your life, no matter what is going on. That's what we're trying to get to. So as it is written in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. Okay, let me say it again. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because life is a trial, isn't it? Every single day, you know, stuff is going on. Even if it's not going on in our lives, we're seeing it going on in other people's lives through news or whatever. So the life is this constant trial. But having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. And quite often when we're looking for answers to how to respond to a dilemma in our lives, what we're mostly looking for are practical answers rather than spiritual answers. You know, I had a friend of mine call me up one day, and he goes, you know, this is going on in my life, and if something doesn't happen, they're going to come get me, and they're going to put me in jail, and blah, blah, blah. So I gave him some spiritual, you know, response, and he said, okay, okay, and he hung up, and then 5 minutes later, he called back and says, you got anything else you can tell me? Right? And so we're typically not looking for spiritual answers. You know, we're looking for, you know, something that's practical, something I can go out and do, right? And it's interesting how our ego is caught up in, when our ego is caught up in the clutches of fear, that which is spiritual doesn't seem practical to the one who's not open to inner guidance. Because you will get a spiritual response every time. But if you are not in a spiritual frame of mind, that response will sound ridiculous to you. It'll be like, you know, why would I even consider that? Okay? So in Paul, this is the way Paul explained it in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without an awareness of spirit does not accept the thoughts that come from spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because the thoughts of spirit must be spiritually discerned. So when you get that little inner voice that says to you, you know, you might want to consider this, you want to just be with it for a while. You know, because it might not make sense in the beginning. So you get the thought, so just sit with it for a while. And as I say, my friend Milton says, let it just percolate up inside of you until it starts to make sense. Okay? So to be without the awareness of spirit is to be without lasting joy. To be without the awareness of spirit is to be without lasting joys, which means to be without lasting joy is to be without the awareness of spirit. Okay? So it is to be without the awareness of the indwelling presence of the living Christ. So our quest in this Advent journey is to willingly begin the disciplined process of practicing living from the truth. Okay? Now, a legitimate question might be, what is truth? Now, the answer to that question is simple, but at the same time challenging. The answer is truth is truth. That's the answer, okay? Meaning, truth is that which remains eternally true regardless of prevailing circumstances. Truth is truth. Nothing you can do can say. We try to negotiate with truth, right? Well, you know, I could see how that would work here, but I don't know. There's no way it could work here. And we're negotiating with truth, negotiating with God. How many people have negotiated with God? Raise your hand. Everybody, right? You're negotiating with the universe about, well, if you do this thing and, you know, it's just not working out the way I want it to. Anybody said that any time of year? Okay. And so that's the idea. You can't change truth. You can't fit God into, we can't fit God into our little circumstance. We can only let God explode that circumstance until it becomes part of God. Then it's no longer the circumstance. That make sense? Because I just made that up. All right? Okay. So, for example, love remains the most powerful healing force no matter what the circumstance. So if you have chosen to practice living by truth, it is your quest to hold that perfect idea of love in your mind no matter what the prevailing circumstance. Why? Because truth is truth. Okay? And living from truth is holding that perfect idea of faith, peace, love, and joy in your mind and heart in the face of life's challenging circumstances and events. And since thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, by holding these divine ideas in thought, you will perfect these Christ ideas in your mind, body, spirit, and affairs. Did that make sense? Because, you know, in other words, thoughts and mind produce after their own kind. So if I'm always thinking about spiritual ideas, spiritual concepts, spiritual ways of dealing with life, eventually that will produce after its own kind. But if I'm also consequently always dealing with fear and worry and that kind of thing, it's going to do what? Produce after its own kind. Does that make sense? Okay. So practice focusing truth long enough, and eventually truth becomes your first thought when your faith, peace, love, and joy is being threatened. It becomes the first thing you go to, as opposed to us going to the thing we always go through and then saying to ourselves, oh, wait a minute, let me back up back to the idea of truth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because at least you're aware that you went to that fear side, and then you step back up to come back to the faith and joy and love you know is really yours, all right? So joy comes from knowing the truth. You can live your life joyfully when you consciously decide to practice living truthfully. And again, to say practice, because living from truth is an evolving process. You just can't say, I'm going to do this, all right, and make it happen. You have to keep saying that and keep working with it. You practice daily truth day by day, moment by moment, event by event. Circumstance comes up, you say, oh, this is another opportunity for me to practice truth. And I will say to you, they get more and more challenging because you are elevating in your ability to operate from truth. So when you say, why this? Now, you know, I've been working with these ideas. Why now is this happening? It's because you have shown the universe that you can operate at that level. Does that make sense? What is it? You know, God never gives you anything that you are not ready to deal with. Okay? And as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about stuff I'm going through where I'm saying, boy, I got to work on this myself. I said that to Pam on the way here in the car, right? I said, you know, Pam, there's joy in all these different parts of our lives. It's this one thing that I just can't seem to continuously apply this idea to. And what happens, because I have such a vivid imagination, I'm dramatizing in my head all the negative dynamics and things that can happen. Am I the only one who does that? Okay? And I'm saying to myself in the drama, this is not what I want to happen. You know? So that's what I'm saying. It's a process. I don't care who you are. You have to keep practicing this stuff over and over again. Right? And so there's a saying that I love to say to my students, and it is, take care of the old man, or take care of the old woman. You've heard that? You ever hear that before? Okay. Take care of the old man, take care of the old woman. It really came from the idea of working out. You know, when you work out and keep yourself going, you know, as you get older, you stay more agile and so forth. Okay. But it works because there are things that we do in our... We do that later on. You say, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. Okay? So, and, you know, how many people have you had said, if I only knew what I knew now? How many people have ever said that? Okay? But the thing is, the good news is, you do know now. All right? So the question we must each ask ourselves, you know, in everything we do is the way I am choosing to handle this situation going to give me joy in the long run? Am I considering the good for everyone involved? That's the thing. So you do this thing right now, and sometimes we do things that we got away with. You know, it could be little, small things, whatever. But the thing is it going to give me joy in the long run? When I think back on this, am I still going to be joyful about how I chose to respond to this situation? So that's what I mean by take care of the old man, take care of the old woman. You know, take care of that part of yourself that's going to look back on all of this. So, because, you know, where we are now is accumulation of all the memories we have and emotions and things we've gone through that brought us to this point, right? Okay? And so you can say, well, geez, I'm already old, all right? So, right? But the thing is, you know, always remember that couple I told you about, been married for 84 years. He was 106 and she was 105, and they were in perfect health. That perfect health says to you, even if you don't know their lives, that they have to have been doing something that got them to this point. All right? So it's sort of that same concept. And, you kind of wonder, how do I get it? So Paul says in his letter in Ephesians chapter 4, 22, in Christ, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To clothe yourself with a new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So here, you are taught to put away your former way of life. Now, that's not just scripture. We all are aware of that, right? You know, things that we've done, you say, well, no, I don't do that anymore. You know, it's not even in my mind to do it anymore. How many people have stuff that you've done that you really wish you hadn't done, but now it's no longer in your consciousness to even do that anymore? You know what I'm saying? You don't even think about it anymore. You know, it's not something we might have wrestled with it for a while, but now we don't even wrestle with it. It's just, but why? Because where we are now is not where that is, okay? And it can't even get to us. That's the thing. The stuff that we did and we wish we hadn't, it can't even get to us anymore. That's sort of what this spiritual process is about. An important spiritual fact is to realize that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing for the glory of God, you can rest assured that God is doing for you what God is supposed to be doing to glorify you. Let me read that again. Okay. When you are doing what you're supposed to be doing to glorify God, now the glory of God means that in a situation that you might be angry, you are able to come from love. That's glorifying God. Does that make sense? Okay. So when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing to glorify God, for the glory of God, you can rest assured that God is doing for you what God is supposed to be doing to glorify you. That's a powerful thought. Okay. Now, in short, if you're working with and living by truth, God is working with and living truth through you. But likewise, if you're not working with and living by truth, you are working against the works of God, because God is always being God, and there can be no joy in that when you're working against the works of God. And again, you don't say to yourself, sorry, God, I got to go against this. I got to do this. It's just an automatic thing that we do, right? By the nature of how we respond to life. And so we have to become conscious of all the ways that we respond to what is happening in life. All the ways. All right? And always be open and receptive to that divine inner. If we just remember that idea of just become still. I don't know what to do in this moment, God. That's okay. Just become still. How long do I have to be still? You have to be still until the fear moves away and the love comes in. Until you move away and God comes in. That's how long. Okay? And the more you practice it, the quicker you get that response that you want, that you need in order to move forward. Okay? So you can certainly get a temporary rush of joy from things in the outer world. But if you're not working with spirit, that rush can soon diminish, leaving you in a state of frustration and confusion and fear. I think we all have experienced the joy gained from outer things diminishing and our joy diminishing with it. You know, you get something new or wonderful or whatever it might be, and over time, no matter what it was, it starts to lose its flavor. All right? And your joy that you had from getting it loses its flavor as well. We all experience it, don't we? Okay? And so, to establish a lasting joy will require us weaning ourselves off of materialism. Now, just stay with me because it might sound a little, hard to do, but we have to wean ourselves off of materialism. Materialism is the belief that worldly possessions constitute the greatest joy and highest value in our lives. Right? Okay? Materialism also creates the fear that if you lose your worldly possessions, you simultaneously lose your joy. So when you say to yourself, oh, no, I get off materialism, no, I like my this and that and love my stuff, right? I can't give that up. But then when you realize that if you lose that thing or you break it or it gets stolen or whatever and your joy goes with that, Then you begin to understand why the idea of moving from materialism to being a more spiritually involved person. So the $64,000 question is, how do you evolve from being material bound to spirit bound? Spirit bound meaning connecting ourselves to the true source of our supply. Okay? Well, we find in Psalm 51:6, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. You get it? Let me say it again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So you're talking about how do I make that shift? You have to have a whole different dynamic happen inside your whole being. And it goes on to say, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. And that's the big thing. Is your spirit willing to make the shift from ego to spirit? Okay? And this idea behind this study is understanding that joy, the joy of being connected to your inner Christ, must become more joyful than anything else you possessed. Better than your diamond bracelet or your fancy car or whatever. That joy of being connected has to be more joyful than anything else. Fear and worry about losing something in our material life must be subordinated to the truth of gaining something in our spiritual life. Who heard me say that? Okay. Reason why I ask is because I know in talks like this, your mind has tended to drift. But I want you to hear this again. Now, the idea in this study is understanding the joy of being connected to your inner Christ must become more joyful than anything you possess. Fear and worry about losing something in our material lives must be subordinated to the joy of gaining something in our spiritual lives. Okay, and again, written in Galatians, and you ask yourself, well, how do I do that? How do I get to that process where I have more joy about my spiritual connection than I have about my Maserati or, you know, whatever it is for you? Okay, so in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you ask yourself, are these things of more value to me than these things in my life? That becomes sort of the question you have to balance. And as true students, our quest is to come to know that the brilliant light of the Bethlehem star is always shining within us, leading us to joy. But it is not until we clear away the cloud of fear and worry that we are able to experience the Christ light shining within us. So that light is always shining. The light is never, ever, ever out. That's what actually unity represents. We were, Pam and I were talking to her siblings. We were talking about the idea that the Christ unity light down at the village has always been shining for over 100 years. It never goes out. It's always been shining. So that's what it's representing. That Christ light is always shining within us. No matter what your experience, that Christ light is always going on. Okay. So how do we clear away the clouds of fear and doubt? It's through the daily practice of living your life with the discipline practice of the spiritual principles we are learning. And the common excuse for this idea of discipline is people will say, well, I'm not a disciplined person. Okay? But that's not an acceptable excuse. It is but by way of sincere, dedicated, focused practice of spiritual principles that discipline is created. Okay? So you guys, are you open for a little bit more? Okay, all right. So the greater reward of the practice of living by specific spiritual principles is that it raises your consciousness to the level of the principle, and then you begin to experience joy of knowing that the good that you want will come from this continuous focus you're doing. So you're practicing because you're trying to raise your consciousness to that level. And this is not something that's foreign to us. Everything we try to create, you know, to achieve in our lives is we work to get our consciousness to that level. Am I right? Okay, so the great reward of that practice is understanding God. Now, practicing a spiritual principle is equivalent to worshiping that principle. Now, there's an article in Science of Mind magazine that says, when you worship You are magnified by the image that you worship. When you worship, you're magnified by the image you worship. Worship is a feeling state that lifts your vibration to the same frequency as that which you are worshiping. All right? Now, so when we worship the inner Christ through the daily practice of living specific spiritual principles, this practice raises the vibratory rate of our consciousness to the level of that principle. So it's not that you keep struggling with the affirmation. It's one day all of a sudden you wake up and realize that you are the affirmation. All right? Because you've raised yourself to that level. And suddenly we know joy from a different perspective when we have reached that level. So we receive the clarity to know that we are being divinely guided to take the right path and make the right decisions when we receive or we reach that spiritual destiny that we're going for. Okay? So the tricky part of all this is to realize that whatever you are placing your mental, emotional energy on becomes the thing that you are worshiping. Whatever you are placing your emotional energy on becomes the thing you are worshiping. So if you're constantly focused on the fact that you never have enough money, or it seems, you know, you don't never can find a good relationship, or your work is too much, or life is too much, or whatever, that thinking is inadvertently has become the object of your worship. You're worshiping that thing more than you are even conscious of the realization of God. Okay? So instead of being lifted up to a higher place in consciousness, you're being held down to the level of thinking which is actually producing the negative challenges in your life, because thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. And there is no joy in negative thinking. Okay? So like the wise men, we need to follow the brilliant light of the Bethlehem star, leading us to the Christ idea being born in us. And as we get closer, we will experience an inner illumination which will move us beyond hope to a deeper understanding and inner knowing that the Christ has been born in us. Okay? And this leads to an experience of great joy. Now let me end with this. During the holiday season, let us remember that we're each unique expressions of the divine and that Christ exists within each one of us. Let us also always seek to behold the Christ in ourselves and each other. And it's interesting when you watch the news to try to practice that with even individuals you see on the news. All right? That's just your opportunity to practice. Right? All right? I mean, those of you who have been in challenging sports like tennis or marathons or, you know, what, anything that was challenging, acting, you know, really to become the person that you are, whatever it is, you've done that. You know, you've worked at, you know, trying to get to that place where, you know, you have moved into the consciousness of that idea. So during this season, we want to do, you know, let us always seek to behold in ourselves and each other. Work at that. So every time somebody pops up who really gets on your last nerve, go up and shake their hand and say, thank you. I needed this lesson, right? And they'll look at you like, and that'll diffuse the whole thing because they're like, what? What are you talking about? Okay, all right? Now remember that the greatest gifts we can give cannot be bought or wrapped, okay? They are the gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, wisdom. And let us pray that every person will be rich in these gifts and surrounded by love. And so it is. Amen. Amen.